Book of Luke, chapter 16. And starting with verse 19, I want to hope you will indulge me here tonight. I want to read a few scriptures, and I want to read down through verse 31. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate, full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Knowing, he told this, knowing that he was going to be raised from the dead, and that they would still reject him even though he rose from the dead. Amen. I want to talk about the gulf here tonight. I've preached along this line before, but just felt it yesterday in my heart, and I want to talk about the gulf. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the touch and anointing of the Spirit of God tonight. Fill this house with your Spirit and your Word. Give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, courage to obey. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. When we look at this parable tonight, we can see very, very clearly the weakness that each and every one of us has. This flesh that we reside in is very weak, and it needs help. Somebody help me here tonight. This flesh needs help. Praise God. Pride will always say, I can do it on my own. I don't need help. Pride says that we need to get what we can for ourselves, because what you want or what I want is more important than anything. Amen. This flesh of ours does not understand the ways of God, and Scripture says that it cannot understand the ways of God, because there is a gulf in between the two. There is a gulf between God and our flesh, and there is no way for our flesh to pass over to the other side of that gulf where heaven is. And the flesh does not understand the ways of God. It cannot understand the ways of God, because God's way is through trust and reliance on God's plan and God's love. Do you believe tonight that God loves you?
Amen.
How many believes that God loves you? I believe that he loves me tonight. Amen. And he has the answer for me. And of course, this is not popular to our world, and it seems like sometimes that the weak are the losers. Amen. And it's no better brought out than in the parable that we talked about here tonight. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 through 8, the Bible says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life." Everybody said life. "And peace." Everybody said peace. Life and peace. "Because the carnal mind," or the fleshly mind, "is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Amen. What we need to have tonight is not a carnal mind, but a spiritual mind. And the carnal mind believes that prosperity is the sign of success. The carnal mind will believe that entertainment and the ways of this world and the theme of this world is the way to go. And it looks at the church and looks at living for God as foolishness and a waste of time. But it really doesn't matter. The worst day in the church is better than the best day in the world. Can you say amen tonight? Well, praise God. And the spiritual mind believes that that being close to God is success, and that having things in this life have nothing to do with success. They're actually opposite of each other, these two ideas and two ways of thinking and living are opposite of each other, and they are so opposite of each other, the Bible says that my thoughts are higher than the heavens, higher than your thoughts, my ways are higher than your ways, and the reason is there is a great gulf in between the two. There is a great gulf in between the two. And we've got to ask ourselves, I think probably on a regular basis, what is my measure of success? What do I consider to be success between the two beliefs of success in God and success in this world? Scripture says here there is a gulf that no man can span. Amen. One side of the gulf there is the result of a life that was lived for God, and on the other side of the gulf there is a life that was lived for self. Amen. I want to live for God. Anybody else with me here tonight? Amen. This rich man lived for himself, his family, and his friends, and we could look at it here. The Bible says the rich man was clothed in purple. That was a very expensive color in that day. Purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. The word sumptuously there means brilliantly, luxuriously. And if we're not careful tonight, we can look at the people of this world that are living sumptuously, and then we can look at ourselves, and we can look at the church, and we can say, why aren't we blessed like the world is? Well, I'm telling you, probably Lazarus felt the same way and had questions in his mind. If I'm living for God, then why are all of these things come upon me? I want to just talk about that just a little bit here tonight, because we cannot live for ourselves. But this rich man had it going, and everything was great. He had the best of the best, and he lived brilliantly. He lived luxuriously, and oftentimes, in fact, Jesus said that hardly will a rich man enter into the kingdom of God. And it's because there is a mindset that develops when we get to that point of being rich and focused only upon the things of this life. Amen. Oftentimes the rich look at the poor and say, I'm better than them, I'm higher than them, I'm at a better place than where they are. Amen. And in the world, the rich are looked up to. They're treated with respect and honor. Amen. In the world, they ask for they're asked for advice, and as Jesus said, they are called rabbi, master, teacher, sir, and they are given honor and respect. But on the other side of this gulf that Jesus was talking about here, there was a man that had literally nothing in this life. His thoughts daily consisted of what to eat and his relief from pain. As I said, I went to visit someone last week in the VA hospital, and this individual has been on the streets for 3 years, homeless for 3 years in Wichita. And the thing that he looked for every day was something to eat, and began to find places where the crumbs were left over, where he could eat what was left over. He was not interested and is not interested in sitting down at a table and being waited on, but he knew where the backside of a Pizza Hut or the backside of a Kentucky Fried Chicken or other places where, instead of putting it in the trash like the law says, they would set it out on a table so that the homeless would at least have a little bit to eat. And we could look at that and we could say there is a loser. And maybe that is the case, but we could look at many that are rich and say they are losers as well. Because it is not what you have, and it is not how other people feel about you. What is most important is our relationship with the Lord. Amen. Well, praise God. And this poor man had daily thoughts of what to eat and relief from the pain. He was obviously in a very, very terrible situation. There was no hospital to go to. There was no charity that he could find where they would take him and give him relief from his pain and help to heal him. And it was a very, very terrible situation, one that I don't think any of us could handle, or rather probably understand or imagine in our mind that any of us could find ourselves in the position that this man found himself. It was so painful for him. He had sores all over his body. Sat at the gate of the rich man and desired the crumbs, looked through the window, saw them laughing and heard the gaiety and everybody eating sumptuously, and whatever they want, they had it, and he was just desiring in his heart, if I could just get a leftover piece of chicken, if I could just get a slice of pizza, if I could just get a little bit, it would help my situation. And the Bible says that he had sores all over his body. And I know this is very gross and doesn't sound very pleasant, but the Bible says that the dogs came and they licked his sores. Amen. The dogs came and licked upon his body, and no point in going into the details there, but it was a very, very pitiful situation. And yet, on the other side of the gulf that Jesus talked about, there was a prideful man behind glass doors. Amen. Behind windows of beauty and splendor. In the dining halls of more than what they needed, there was a rich man, And as he probably looked out the window on a regular basis, he looked at that poor man and probably shook his head and was trying to figure out a way to get him out of his front yard. Amen. It's amazing. We have a tremendous homeless situation in our country. And one individual, one of our congresswomen in a particular area where there's lots of homeless, a lot of the homeless went and parked in front of her house and set up their tents and was going to congregate in front of her house, and she quickly had them removed. Amen. Because the rich and the prideful haven't got a lot of room for those that are suffering in this world. Amen. They're just looking for a way to benefit from the situation, and it would be way too much for them to be put in that situation, let alone to go to a homeless shelter and provide food and serve food to those people. They would never think of that. They would never do that. One wife of a former president told her daughter when they got off of the presidential helicopter, and she began to talk to one of the Marine soldiers that was there to guard the helicopter. She told her daughter, "We don't talk to the common people." Amen. That's the attitude that we have in our world. Amen. And there is a great gulf. Amen. Even from here in America with the middle class. Amen. There is a great gulf between how we live our lives and how the rich live their lives. There's a big gulf there. Amen. And it would be too much for the rich of this world. And when I say rich, I'm talking about people who know they're rich and are prideful in their riches. Every day this man that was rich lived sumptuously, brilliantly, and he grew in his wealth. He knew how to make money, and he knew all of the ins and the outs. He had connections, and if he needed anything, he knew who to call, and he could work it out behind the scenes, and he could get exactly what he wanted. Amen. You don't have to be rich to be like that. There's probably folks on your job that are like that. Amen. They're everywhere in our world. And the rich man did not obviously have a relationship with the Lord, but it's obvious that the poor man had a relationship with the Lord. Amen. And so when we look at it here tonight, I suppose that the obvious question would be, why would God allow such suffering? Why would God allow such pain in the life of one of his children? Amen. And I'm sure that you probably asked that question at some point in your life. When we look at the church and we look at the world is building their skyscrapers, and we're selling peanut brittle and taco dinners, amen, to buy something or to pay something off. And it's easy to fall into that trap and to say, well, why do we suffer? Well, it's because there is a great gulf, amen. We cannot pass over to that other side, and the other side cannot pass over here to us. Amen. We can't go and enjoy the things of God and have no need of God, as Scripture says, and feel like we have arrived. Amen. This world has nothing to offer us. It is really the proving ground. It is the beginning. It is the preparation. Amen. Like those that would be preparing for a play, the curtain is closed, and behind the curtain, they're getting ready. They're dressing up. They're going back over their parts, and then the curtain opens and the real thing begins. Amen. And we are behind the curtain tonight, and the curtain has not opened yet, and the real play has not started. Somebody said amen. It has not started yet. We're in a time of preparation. We're in a time of making plans. Amen. And while this is taking place, amen, there are so many today that are making their plans without God in their plans. Scripture says that if we would acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, that He will direct our path. Amen. Amen. And the path that God takes to us there is a great gulf between that and the ways of the world. The shepherds, which of course Jesus is the great shepherd, but the shepherds of the day of Jesus Christ would take their flocks in the springtime up into the mountains so they could get the fresh green grass that was there. And then at a season, they would bring them back down to the meadows. And it was a constant thing every year, the up and the down. And I read something that it stuck in my mind, and it said that the shepherds realized and learned that the quickest and the easiest way to get to the mountaintop is through the valleys. Praise God. The valley where two mountains come together. If they go through that valley, it is the easiest way to the mountaintop. And tonight we're reaching out to the mountaintop of eternity. Amen. Praise God. Everything that we are laboring for and working for is that eternity. Amen. And sometimes we're very blessed here in America, and you could say amen. We're blessed. We've got 90% of the world's wealth right here in this country. And Europe is the same way. There is so much wealth. I think it would be really great. I was talking about this here just the other day. There is a program where the youth of the WPF goes on a missions trip. And I forget what they call that missions trip, but I thought it would be great if our young people could go on a missions trip, amen, and go to a place where there is extreme poverty and where it is completely different than the world in which we live. It is hard for us to comprehend only having a morsel of food every day. It's hard to comprehend the fear that's in the hearts of people in our world, that rebels or the government will come and kill us or put us in prison. Amen. It's almost impossible for us to understand what life is like in North Korea, in places in our world where literally millions and millions of people are oppressed and they are put down and they are troubled on every hand. But as we sit here tonight on our padded pews, those things are going on in our world. They are a reality in our world. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. It's the reality of the world in which we live. And those that sit in their high houses, amen, behind their shiny glass windows, cannot comprehend nor understand the real plight of those that are sitting right at our gate, amen, that have a need in their lives. And I believe tonight that we need to see this and understand this. Psalm chapter 34 and verse 18, it says, "The Lord is nigh or near unto them that are of a broken heart, and such that be of a contrite spirit." Amen. There is something that God is attracted to, and I want God to be attracted to me. Amen. Not so interested in things in this world, but I'm interested tonight in being close to God. And in a similar way, what we think about the poor, and we think about those who are in great need. You say, well, Pastor, there's really not a whole lot of poor in our country. And if you're talking about financially, you're probably right. The poorest among us has so much more, and there is an abundance of food everywhere that we have a hard time giving it away. We can't find enough people to give it away to. Amen. But there are multitudes right outside the doors of the church that are poor spiritually, and every day they look for something to help them along the way. Amen. Praise God. Psalm 41 and verse 1, how we look at these people is very important. If we look at them and say, well, that's their problem, I'll tell you what, we've forgotten where God brought us from. If we look at them and just say, those kids that come on the bus, they're just snotty-nosed church kids, Sunday school children. They're not Sunday school children. They're souls that need God. Amen. And we need to have compassion on them and do our best to help them. Amen. Because they're sitting at our gate tonight. They're right at the threshold of our door. As we're here tonight worshiping God and praising the Lord, amen, and having a good time with each other, amen. How do we feel? Can I just preach a little bit here tonight? How do we feel when they walk inside the doors of the church? Do we let them sit by themselves and wonder, does anybody even know that I'm here? Amen. Do we go and greet them and let them know that we're sincerely glad that they're here? Or are we just waiting for the pastor to do that? Or waiting for somebody else in ministry to do that? I want to tell you, we've got to have the right attitude about those that don't have what we have. And what we have tonight is not because of our wisdom, it is because of God. Amen. Your blessings are directly from God. If the Lord chose to dry up your blessings, I'm telling you what, you would be fellowshipping with the poor before very long. Psalm 41 and verse 1, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." Praise God. We got to consider this thing. There's a great gulf between those that have and those that have not. Psalm chapter 34 and verse 6. Here's the king of Israel, the man that through him came the Messiah, and he looked at himself a certain way. Psalm 34 and 6. "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." But you could look at scripture after scripture and how the Lord feels about the proud. Amen. And that God will turn his face away from the proud. Amen. And not only that, but he will be against them. Amen. Because tonight, folks, we've got nothing to be proud of. The only thing we can boast of and rejoice in tonight is our great God. Amen. And he is truly great and awesome tonight. Through his grace and by his hand, and the smile upon his face toward us has brought us to where we are tonight. I'm thankful. Is anybody else thankful tonight? And so we can see from Scripture, amen, you call this preaching or teaching, it really doesn't matter to me. I just felt it a few days ago in my heart. But God is drawn to the afflicted. God is drawn to the poor because they're on the side of the gulf that God is on. Amen. They are positioned, uniquely positioned to be able to perceive eternity. Amen. They think about death. They think about what's going to happen in life. The rich don't think about that. They're only thinking about how they can make more and how they can bless themselves. Amen. And the gulf and on which the poor sit is too far away for them to see. And on the side of the gulf where heaven is, it's too far into the darkness for them to see that way as well. No man can span that gulf. No man can go that way. Jesus said, "How hardly will a rich man enter into the kingdom of heaven?" Amen. We're rich here tonight, whether you realize it or not. You're rich in the things of this world. We have so very, very much. Amen. The poor man, the beggar, had something on the inside, while the rich man had everything on the outside. Amen. The poor man had no health, but the rich man was living sumptuously and had every opportunity to be healed by doctors of the day. Amen. The poor man was a man of prayer, but the rich man was a man of calculation. Amen. One prayed and the other calculated. The poor man could forgive very easily. Amen. But the rich man would use the courts to get his rightful due. Amen. And understood that. Probably was friends with the judge. The poor man had a relationship with God. Now listen to this tonight. The rich man had a relationship with himself. Oh, God, help us tonight. If you're despising the way of the poor, amen. Be careful tonight that you find that you not find yourself on the other side of this great gulf. Amen. To pass from one side to the other is not possible unless we have a mediator in between one side and the other side. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and men. There's only one way that we can do it. Amen. Jesus said, "How hardly will a rich man enter into the kingdom of God? But with God, all things are possible." Amen. But there's only one way that it's possible, and that is if the great mighty hand of God reaches across that gulf and takes a man or a woman by the heart and saves them from the destruction that is surely to come on that side of the gulf. And when that destruction comes, there will be no backing out. There will not be an opportunity of repentance or changing your way or now saying, Abraham, let him dip his finger in some water. That infected hand, that hand that was covered with sores. Now the rich man was looking at Lazarus as a rich man, and he was looking at himself as a poor man. It's amazing how his way of looking at things changed drastically. Amen. And if you're despising the way of the poor or despising those that come in among us, amen, because of their lack of understanding or because of the life that they're living or the sin that is in their life, be careful tonight. Amen. If you're despising them, you might end up on the wrong side of the gulf. Amen. Well, praise God. I've pastored long enough to see the very real situation develop and play out, where I've seen people that sat on the pew, and because of this, that, or the other, they were working their way out the door and into the darkness. Amen. But at the same time, there was one in a bar room somewhere that was drunk, amen, or whatever it was that they were doing, living in sin, but they were not happy, and they were starting their way into the church. And I've seen it. I've seen it multiple times where they crossed, amen. One was coming and one was going. I don't want to be going. I want to be coming, amen. I don't want to be working my way toward the door of the church, but I want to be making my way, amen, into the kingdom of God. Somebody said amen. Praise the Lord. I hope you'll stay with me here tonight. Amen. And to pass from one side to the other, as I've already said, is not possible without God. Amen. Revelation 3, verse 17. I'm going to finish here shortly, but I just feel this in my heart tonight. Revelation 3, 17. Because thou sayest, this was to the Laodicean church, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. You talk about offending someone. Here was rich people, and he said, you're naked, you're miserable, and you're blind. He said, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Amen. Well, the church in Laodicea is not there anymore. It does not exist. And probably because they did not repent and give God the glory for everything that they had. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, we're rich, folks. Church, we are rich. We are blessed tonight with so very, very much. And what we need to do is to be thankful for that, and we need to share the good news that God gave to us. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's easy to forget where we came from. The Bible says that some people look in the mirror and then they walk away and forget what manner of man they were. Amen. And they begin to think that I'm pretty good, I look pretty good, things are going good in my life, so on and so forth. But that's why we need to be regular in the house of God. Well, praise the Lord. Because when we hear the preaching of the Word of God, we are confronted with a mirror of the Word of God. And it is the Word of God that shows us where we really are. Amen. And what God wants to do in our lives so that we can change and we can turn, amen, to become what God wants us to become. Praise the Lord. Amen. And if you think about it this way, there was a poor man sitting at the gate and he had the answer for the rich man. But the rich man missed it. Amen. Before the beggar was a glimpse of prosperity and wealth, but he missed it. They could not see where each other was. They could not perceive where they were, because there was in reality a great spiritual gulf that was between them. There was such a gulf that neither could pass over. Amen. I cannot imagine living in a luxurious place as some people do with servants and all of that. It's a gulf that I cannot cover. Amen. And honestly, here tonight, I don't want to be in that position. I have no desire, amen, to be rich. I just desire to get closer to God and to do the will of God. I hope that you feel the same way tonight. Amen. The only way that we're going to cross over that gulf is by somebody helping us, and that somebody is Jesus Christ. He's the one that stands between this life and the next life. He's the only one that stands between us and a devil's hell for all of eternity, where we will be tormented in the flames day and night for all of eternity, where there will be gnashing of teeth, as I said this morning, of those that will gnash upon each other with their teeth and tear their skin out and gnash on them some more. And it will go on and on day and night for eternity. I'm telling you what, friend, it's really cheap to go to the altar and say, God, forgive me. I want to live for you. I want to do what's right. Amen. We're given a tremendous opportunity tonight, amen, to have the riches of eternity, amen, because we are poor and we are beggars here tonight. We can do nothing without God. And if you don't come through Jesus, you're not going to make it to the other side. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We cannot get to the other side of this gulf without Jesus Christ. You will not spend eternity in heaven. You'll spend eternity in a lake of fire if you don't repent of your sins and get baptized in Jesus' name and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You're standing on a cliff. Amen. We went over to Missouri the other day to be with Netta when she had her test, and there was trees everywhere, hardwoods growing everywhere, hills that were like the lake, like the Ozark Hills, and there was a cliff there. It was a rock cliff, and it was straight down. And right on the edge of that rock cliff was trees, mature trees that were growing right on the edge. And I thought, if somebody's walking through the forest and they don't know where they're going, they could find themselves falling off of that cliff. Amen. On one side of a line somewhere. Amen. Where the dirt is loose and it's easy to slip off. On one side of a line is sure death, and on the other side of the line is growth. Amen. And green trees and shelter and all of those things. Amen. We all stand on that line today. Amen. We stand on that line, and we can go to one side of it or to the other side. I don't want to slip off into the abyss. The Bible says that it is a lake of fire, and in another place it says that it is a bottomless pit. It is a hole somewhere that when you fall into that hole, you'll never hit the bottom. Amen. And it is possible to cross over. It's possible for a young person to cross over. It's possible for anyone to cross over. Amen. And the common denominator kicked in here. And the Bible says that the beggar died. I'm sure he probably died before the rich man did. In fact, it tells us beforehand, before the rich man died, that the beggar died. He didn't get any relief from his sickness. He didn't get any healing from a doctor. Nobody cared for him. Probably no one would even allow him to bathe in their house or in a pool where they're used to going and bathing. They wouldn't allow that because they were afraid of his contamination and that he would contaminate the water. I don't know how far along it went and what he looked like when he passed away. I've got a brother-in-law that lives in New Mexico who worked for the government, and I know this sounds kind of gross, but they wanted to know how far lice could infect a cow. And they tied this cow up in a stall where he could not move, and he said they introduced lice into that, and they fed him and they watered him. This is the government that's doing this. And he said it was so bad that that cow was covered with lice and covered with sores all over his body. And he said when he went in to feed him, he would rub him on the forehead, and he said the cow's eyes would roll back in his head, and he would begin to slobber all over. It felt so good just to have somebody to rub his forehead. Amen. I think that's a tragic thing. But when I look at this story here tonight, I think of the very same thing. Here was a man that if somebody would just give him a little bit of attention, his eyes would roll up in his head, and he would feel such relief that somebody cared. Amen. But nobody cared. He was hopeless in this world. He had nothing in this world. He was literally the poor of this world. Amen. But he died, and there was his relief, because when he died, all of this sickness was gone, and the angels came and took him to heaven. Praise God. Amen. He was the winner in this story. He was the one that was the victor. But then the Bible says the rich man died. Folks, I want you to know that's the common denominator for every one of us. We are all going to die someday. And the greatest place to die is at the altar. Amen. It's at the altar. Amen. So that we can die out to the old lifestyle. Amen. And then that old man can be buried. Those old ways of thinking can be buried. And then there can be a resurrection. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for the power of a resurrection to lift us up out of the things of this life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. This resurrection will change your life. Receiving the Holy Ghost will change your life. Come on, somebody. Did it change your life? It changed my life. And I'm thankful for God filling me with the Holy Ghost. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 41. We need to see the difference here. 1 Corinthians 15:41, there is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Everybody said corruption. All right, so you could put in there sickness. You could put in there cancer. You could put in there all kinds of diseases that we know exist today. Amen. And it is sown in corruption, and it is raised in incorruption. Praise God. You might not be excited about this. You might love your riches more than anything. But I'm telling you tonight, it is sown in corruption. Amen. Why am I sick? I don't know why I'm sick. I don't know why I've suffered the physical things that I've got going on right now, but I want you to know it's temporary. It is not a permanent situation. Amen. The troubles of this life are temporary. They are not a permanent situation. And so what do? I understand that I am getting ready to be sown. Amen. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. We don't like to think about death, but I'm telling you tonight, death is the release from corruption. It is the release from the things of this world that will bring us down. We don't have to worry about our finances anymore. We don't have to worry about the car breaking down. We don't have to worry about all the things that we worry about in this life, because it is the release. It is the place of release where we don't have to deal with that again. It is sown in dishonor, and it is raised in glory. Amen. Sown in dishonor. Amen. You're going to have people put you down because you live for God. They're going to look at you and say, you're covered with sores. Dogs are licking you. How could that be right? Amen. But tonight it's right to live for God. Amen. It is sown in weakness. Everybody said weakness. But it is raised in power. Amen. God saves people that are weak. Thank God for that. I'm telling you tonight, none of us have strength unless the Lord gives it to us. It is sown a natural body. That's the body that we're living in here tonight. And I'm so thankful I'm not going to take it with me when I get out of here. But I got a feeling if you decide to go to hell and you've got physical problems, you're going to take them with you when you go. That's just a feeling. I don't have a scripture for that. But we are sown a natural body and raised a spiritual body. And then he says there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Praise God. This world looks at the natural body, but the wise look at the spiritual body. Now you look at the contrast there that we just read. In between those two, it is sown a natural body, raised in a spiritual body. There is a great gulf. There is a great gulf between the two. And the only way we can make it out is with Him. I want to ask you tonight, are you weak? Are you put out, distressed, confused, sick? I'm telling you, it's not going to be that way on the other side of the gulf. Psalm 30 and verse 5, for his anger endureth but a moment. I love that scripture. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. Revelation 21 and verse 4. Musicians and singers, would you come tonight? Revelation 21 and verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Amen. Does that tell me there tonight? I looked at that and I began to think about it. Does that tell me that when I walk up to the gates of heaven, there's going to be tears coming down my face? Where I remember the sufferings, remember the sorrows, remember the rejections, remember all of those things, and we stand before God, and He reaches down with the big spiritual handkerchief and wipes those tears off of your face. And when He wipes them off, they're never going to come back again. There's something about this. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 2. I know this doesn't make sense to some people, but it makes sense to me. Amen. I hope it makes sense to you. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 2. It is better. Everybody said it's better. "It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting." Why? Because in the house of mourning, they're able to see the other side of the gulf. They're able to see the one that can help them. But in the house of feasting, in the house of entertainment, all they can see is themselves. Let's stand together tonight. I hope that someone receives something from the word tonight. Amen. You must be born again. And that born again experience will change the way you look at things. It will change the way you look at life and how you approach life. Amen. Because you're on the other side now. But when you're on this side, you can't see. And when you're on that side, you can't see. I'll tell you, I don't want to see, in a very real sense of the word, I don't want to see what goes on in the world. I don't want to see the reasoning of the world, because the world will reason with you. And there are many voices in our world today, and none of them are without signification, the Bible says. All of them have a point to make. Everybody's got a point to make today. Well, this is the way I look at it, and you can almost see heads turn. Well, I never thought about it that way. There's a way of thinking in the world, but I don't want to learn that way of thinking. I want to keep myself in the Word of God and let the Word of God mold my thoughts, guide my steps, be a light to my feet and a lamp to my pathway. And I want to hide it in my heart that I might not sin against God.